Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Democrats talk about defunding the police. Republicans talk about solutions that will defend Americans. We will also stand by and support our police officers who put on their uniform every day to carry out their oath to protect and serve their communities.
All right, that's the voice of Congressman Kevin McCarthy, and he's talking about, of course, what's happening with the police and the move to defund police agencies that's afoot in this country. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, welcome once again to this hour of the show. He tweeted out, I believe with every fiber of my being, that America is the greatest country that's ever existed. We should be working together to keep it that way, but Speaker Nancy Pelosi once again shut out millions of voters' voices by politicizing this moment. While Democrats work to defund the police, Republicans are working on actual solutions to keep Americans safe. Don't miss my news conference. And that's the little snippet you heard from his news conference. So it is a political argument, and I don't know that it should be political at all, but I'm not surprised because that's the world we live in, right? Pick a side. It's like sports teams, sadly. I'm for America. I'm for what makes sense. And what makes sense is something that should be done in the wake of George Floyd's death. There's no question about that. But and when you hear statistics like 30,000 cops in 44 states banned for misconduct, that's not great. That's awful, in fact. But when you think about the rest of the police forces, when you think about calls that you've made, when you think about officers, perhaps if you're lucky enough, that have helped you, imagine when something happens. My neighbors burglarized, police coming over to talk to us, car broken into, we call the police, boom, they're there right away. In fact, I know a lot of the, I shouldn't say I know a lot, but I know several police officers from the force in my area. So defunding the police would mean a new kind of way of life, really funneling the money through the community and community programs. While it did work in one particular town in the United States back in 2012, would it work where you are? And we're going to hear more and more, I think, of those kinds of conversations. So think about it, look around, and see if it makes sense to you. We are weighing in here on this show. Why not do an unofficial poll? Yay or nay to defunding police departments in the United States? Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on contact, and let me know how you feel. By the way, because of talking about defunding police departments, etc., another thing that's come up is officers and schools. You know, the police shootings, so many people erupted in saying, well, we need to have more police at schools. We need to have guards, an armed guard. We need to have a detective. We need to have, you know, X, Y, Z. And now, depending on what would happen, you know, school boards voting on those kinds of things, officers, the whole idea was to keep schools safe. And did it make students feel safe or not? That's a discussion even being had in the Minneapolis police departments, well, really with the city council, because some people feel as though they didn't necessarily feel safer with the police there. And so students and activists, are they wanting to continue school resource officers or discontinuing them? And what happens to the money that was spent on those programs? Would they go to other strategies? And that's the deal. What is the strategy if you defund law enforcement? What is the strategy if you defund law enforcement particularly these resource officers on school campuses. And if you have children, how do you feel about that? All right, that's not the only thing we're talking about, and this show is about what the buzz is in your backyard and mine. What keeps you up at night? What gets you frustrated? What makes you go, yeah? How about some good news, right? How about some good news? So the good news for some people is the reopening in their area of restaurants, hair salons, golf courses, other places where they would normally go, and maybe there's some social distancing, and hopefully there are policies in place, and it makes it safer for everybody, and I know that people are happy that they're able to get out, happy that they're able to go and do some things that they haven't done in 3 months or more. But then there is the concern over, oh yeah, we're still in the middle of this pandemic, and the numbers are there, 115,000 deaths, 619,000 recovered, and 2 million cases confirmed. In some parts of the United States, the number is shooting up of hospitalizations in Arizona, in Arkansas, in Texas, in Florida. What does that mean, and what does it look like? The truth is, when we ask for hard numbers, nobody knows the hard numbers. Nobody can possibly know the hard numbers. But the Johns Hopkins virus dashboard, I call it sadly the death odometer, counted more than 27,000 new cases as of yesterday. And almost 1,000 U.S. deaths. There's over 115,000 Americans that have died since the virus showed up a couple of months ago. Now, the Rubik's Cube of let's decide where we're going and what where this fits and where it doesn't fit is that what we probably could see is by the beginning or middle of September, we could see 200,000 deaths from COVID-19. So then you think about the urgency of reopening the U.S. economy, which we get, right? 1.5 million Americans filing first-time applications for unemployment insurance last week. Now the total for 12 weeks, an incredible record-smashing 43 million people filing unemployment. But is the reopening coming at a human cost? And we saw what happened in some places Memorial Day weekend. Summer vacation travel. Where are you going? What's that going to look like? Think of pool parties. Think of water parks. And how do you stop the spread of the virus at public gatherings? And will it have an impact? What about the vaccine? It's still the same questions, the hard questions that have to be answered every single time I fire up this mic. I don't want to see any flare-ups. I don't want to see anyone I know get COVID-19. I don't want to see a full-scale second wave of infections. I don't want to see America drown either in economic despair. And, of course, we are seeing that. I mentioned the scary number when it comes to unemployment. You know what they say about hope? I think it can be a strategy. So let's hope that the numbers are lower, but the pandemic still is here, and 800 to 1,000 people a day are dying, and that's the reality. This or that on the flip side.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunnybay.com. sunny-bay.com, a biomed DB design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. Technical maestro for this show, we invite him into the lion's den. No, to come on air with me and play my silly little game, this or that. Hey, Eric, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Do you feel a little hungover?
Maybe a little bit.
Maybe a little bit. All right. So we'll just say that you had the chance to finally go back out again into the human world and go to maybe some of your favorite watering holes.
Yep.
What was that like? Did it feel surreal?
It felt like, I don't know, two or three times better than the last time I was at the pub.
Nothing like a pub crawl.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny?
Oh,
go ahead.
I was just going to say people seemed a little more social than normal, it seemed. I don't know. Like there were a lot of people who obviously were quarantined, so they were very friendly.
I like that. I asked you that because I wanted people to know once you get out into the real world again, if you go to your favorite pub, it may feel a little bit different because you haven't been there in a while. And I can see why people would be friendly because they haven't been in those situations. It's funny because I used to have friends that always did pub crawls, and I would never miss them. When I was single, then you get married, and it's a little bit different. And now, if somebody asked me, I'd be like, oh, are you kidding? Is that place still open? Or did it? Because some places, actually, some of the some of the pubs and some of the restaurants went under.
Yep, and got burned down, too.
Oh, yeah, because you're in Minneapolis, so did you have a couple of places that you used to go to that burned?
Yeah, the last venue that my band played at burned down.
Ooh.
It was called the Hexagon.
And they burned the Hexagon, so I feel terrible for that owner. Are they going to try to rebuild?
I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. All right, so see, that's what happened in Minneapolis. I was talking about owners and people having fundraisers for them and all that sort of stuff. So here's the question for this first, this or that. You have a chance to have a front row seat at Mission Control in Houston where, you know, you get to do the whole behind-the-scenes thing. Nothing is off-limits. You meet the astronauts, everything else, before this mission to Mars. Or you get to go to Mars. You get a front row seat in the actual rocket that goes off into to Mars. Which would you take?
I'm sorry, what were the options?
The choices are you can tour anywhere while this is happening in Mission Control. You can be right there. Not on the outside, not with the big crowds. You're like on the inside getting the inside baseball Mission Control for this mission to Mars, or you're actually going to Mars. You're one of the lay people that gets to go on the trip.
Oh, I would definitely go to Mars, yeah.
No fear that the rocket exploding or anything.
Yeah, there would be some fear, but it would be worth it.
You do it. I love it. I think I would do it, too. I'm fascinated by space anyway. If I had the opportunity, remember, because there was the sad story of Christy McAuliffe a long time ago, I don't even know if you were born then, the teacher who died in the Challenger explosion, and that was a sad, unforeseen tragedy, because more, I think, people could have gone up in some of these rockets. But anyway, yeah, I would be the same way. I mean, if you're going to do it, I'd say go all in. So both of us, Mars, it would be fascinating. It would be a little scary, but it would be a kind of a cool scary, I think.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, you have a chance to star in a movie. It's a one-time shot. Or you can be an extra for an entire sitcom. Which do you take?
I guess I would choose to be the lead role.
The lead role in the movie?
Yeah, I don't know if I can handle fame, but yeah, I would do that.
What can't you handle about fame? Beautiful women coming up to you, everybody wanting your autograph, everyone telling you how great you are. Oh, Eric, you're the best. I remember, I think I heard of your band one time in Minneapolis. Didn't you play at the Hexagon before it burned down?
I couldn't handle the lack of privacy.
Ah, so you no matter what, you like your private life. You would want to be private. That whole thing about celebrities and the exaggerations and then the things that happen and they go and take their trash out and people take their picture and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yep, I don't like any of that. I think it would get old.
Yeah, you know, there is a price to fame, right? There is a price to it that you can't, even if they have a bad moment, the moment gets magnified or exaggerated or whatever.
You,
I mean, there is
famous.
A price. Well, I don't know that I'm that famous, Eric.
You're all over the TV and radio and
yes,
and getting in front of crowds.
True. And you know what happens sometimes? Stories circulate that I wasn't even a place where someone says I was. I'll tell everybody a funny story. There was a realtor one time that was going around Dallas, and they were telling someone, well, this is where Kate Delaney lives, like I'm Kim Kardashian, which of course I'm not. And somebody I know, they tried to sell a place to them and said that. She says, well, she's my friend. She never lived here. What are you talking about? So it's like your name gets used in weird places, and I'm not even famous. But, yeah, you know what? There is a thing about that. There is a thing for super, I think, for especially television and movie people. I think it's really magnified that much more. You know, I've been on movie sets, and I've been I was an extra one time on a television series. I mean, an extra. Like, I'm just part of the crowd. And you know what happens? This is what happens, Eric. You get paid a nice little check, and they used to have this big craft service table. You could eat whatever you want, 10 million M&Ms or whatever. Mm-hmm. You meet all the super famous actors, but then you hurry up and wait. You wait around all day. You're, like, waiting for something to happen. It is the most boring. No. And you're not the star, so you're not in the fancy trailer hanging out with whoever. You're just waiting. It's very different in how things are pieced together. So that's kind of interesting.
Would you want to do it again?
I would do it if it was like one of my nephew and my niece who are young or who are both interested in the business, and if it did something to help them, I would do it.
Mm.
But I don't know. I mean, because the whole extra thing takes so much time. It would be. That part's rough. That part's bleh. I don't like that part. All right. So here's the thing. Now we go to what I call the really extreme part of this or that. And the extreme is this. So the extreme is you have a chance to swim with sharks in South Africa.
Yeah.
Or you have a chance to live among the grizzly bears in Alaska. And there are people that can help you that are there to protect you, but you have to do it because if you do it, you can really change your life. You're doing it on a dare, and if you do it and accomplish it, you get $500,000.
Oh my God.
So you get $500,000, but you have to pick which one you do. Which one would you do? Live with the grizzlies or swim with the sharks?
Swim with the sharks.
Oh, swim with the sharks?
Yeah, bears, you know, you heard about the that guy who got eaten by bears, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That, I think that's too real, you know. That's, yeah.
Too real.
I would rather risk it with the sharks.
Yeah. I think I would probably go with the sharks, too, although I wouldn't be psyched about that either. I used to dive, and I have been near sharks, but I mean, not killer whites, you know, and it was scary enough in the Pacific just to even get my license in the kelp beds scared the hell out of me. So I guess I would do the sharks. The bear thing, I think, is more worrisome. I mean, I don't even know what you do if you see a black bear, let alone a grizzly bear. I would be freaked out. All right. Always interesting. This or that. Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Tim.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
For USA Radio News, I'm Jesse Edwards. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo said during a press conference on Sunday that bars and restaurants that allow large crowds will lose their liquor licenses.
This is a time in history we've never seen before. You violate the law, you can lose your license. And you will. We're not kidding around about this.
Protesters in Seattle have taken over a 7-block area near the police department's East Precinct. Seattle Police Officers Guild President Michael Sloan told Fox News the city is now close to becoming a lawless state.
This could metastasize across the country. It's quite clear that City of Seattle elected officials are lacking the political will to enforce the rule of law. And this is the closest I've seen since being a 20-year professional of public safety service of our country to becoming a lawless state.
This is USA Radio News. Protesters in Seattle have taken over a 7-block area near the police department's East Precinct. Seattle Police Officers Guild President Michael Sloan told Fox News that non-protesting residents are feeling threatened.
What happens to the reasonable community in Seattle, in particular the business owners that surround that area or their residents? And we're already seeing reports come out of those residents saying they're not even allowed to have a vote or a say, and they're feeling threatened. So this is a very deeply troubling situation in terms of public safety.
Republican Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma said on ABC's This Week that there should be a national ban on chokeholds, the restraint police used when George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis.
Absolutely, we should have that. That is one of the things that we should have engaged in a long time ago. Many departments around the country have already banned chokeholds, and I think a lot of other departments are increasing that now. Some departments just didn't train for chokeholds and told their officers they can only do what they've been trained for.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
A big change in your life, like we are living the American dream, but wouldn't it be cool if we kind of removed ourselves and did some renovating of a farmhouse and lived a different life? Well, our next guest, Katrina Morgan, did just that, and she wrote a book called Echoes in the Walls. It is so funny. Probably not funny when she was going through it, but I think if you read it, you will laugh out loud. Katrina, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I've been looking forward to this all week.
So you and I talked off the air, and I loved what you told me that, well, you know, think of the movie Money Pit by, you know, that Tom Hanks was in. What, first of all, made you decide you were going to make this big change?
I think we dusted off an old dream. Our family seems to be living the American dream. We had the jobs, the house, the cars, but we were strangely dissatisfied by that. It just seems like we were all following the same path, and we wanted to do something different with our family, tackle something huge together that we felt like we could come away from with lessons and value for our children.
And so in doing that, you decide, all right, so there's this really cool place that we can get. And tell us about getting the place. And wasn't it like this incredible house, the way it was, like a pre-Civil War home, that kind of thing, and looked great sort of from the outside? How did you end up picking the spot that you picked?
We wanted to stay in the same area because of schools. Our children, we had three, were at very different ages and stages, and we didn't want to disrupt school. So we were looking local. I will say that I'm not sure I would agree with the house. It looked really great, It only looks really great to us. Nobody else could see it completed. We found it actually late at night, kind of crept up to the house. It was built in the 1840s. That's pre-Civil War. That's Pony Express, just to give you an idea. But we saw the potential of the house. But looking at it at 11:30 at night and looking at it in daylight, we're very different. Daylight showed that maybe we'd been a little overly enthusiastic in our appraisal. The house had great bones, but there was a lot wrong. It had been vacant for years. The windows were broken. The doors were broken. It had been vandalized heavily. Graffiti artists had come in and spray-painted walls, and most things in the house actually were broken. And we were so excited with the possibilities that we just literally stepped past obstacles to tackle this old farmhouse because we were so sure it was going to be the greatest thing that ever happened to our family.
Wow. So then what happens when you actually move into the farmhouse?
Well, we didn't move in right away. We thought once we purchased it, it was in such bad shape. No heat, no working bathrooms, nothing. We thought we would have 6 months or longer to make the renovations. But our new home in this lovely neighborhood sold the first day it was on the market. So we had 90 days to try to take this decrepit, falling apart, ramshackle, should have been bulldozed house and turn it into kind of some sort of habitable home. And it was a disaster. All of those early dreams and excitement disappeared pretty quickly. And things began to go wrong daily.
So much so that you had raccoons in the bedroom. You had skeletons in the cellar. Tell us about that.
It was awful. We started to feel like it was the plagues of Egypt. Like, what else is going to go wrong? Because the house had been vacant, windows broken, a whole family of raccoons had taken residence up in some debris and broken furniture in one of the bedrooms. We discovered bones in what I called the dungeon. It was a dirt crawl space area under the house. And in trying to clear it out, I discovered a possum skull, skeletal remains of rabbits, birds, snake skins, anything that you could imagine was down there, and even found what looked suspiciously like a femur, which set everybody off for days. It was just creepy. We had a colony of bats that lived in the house. We didn't know about that when we bought it. And by colony, I'm not talking 10. I'm talking 100. And they've been there a long, long time. And it set off weeks of battling these bats and trying to figure out how to get them out of the house so that we could take ownership. And we failed more often than not. They were ridiculous stories of us trying to get rid of these bats, funny stories of catching them in Tupperware bowls and trying to open up holes in the eaves so that they would fly out. We eventually put a new roof on the house after we thought the bats were gone, and they chewed through a brand new roof to move back inside.
Crazy.
I thought if it could go wrong, it did. We had injuries. We had an oil spill in our pond with 500 gallons of oil that ended up in the pond. We had a flash flood that washed away literally everything we had just completed on the outside of the house. We had a 4 or 5 foot wide beehive that we discovered in a kitchen wall. It was just one thing after another, all while a clock is ticking 90 days, 80 days, 70 days to move in. It was just disastrous.
So this was no HGTV prize, that's for sure. So when you look at...
Oh, no, I laugh at them. That's not real.
Yeah, that's not real. So when you look at your husband and then the kids, what was that like? What kind of conversations were you having? Like, were they like, Mom, we can't move in here? What was that like?
Oh, our oldest was 17, and she was fully prepared to move in with her best friend. She was not going to go there. The youngest boys my middle one, it was an adventure to him, but he was really afraid to leave his friends, to start over. So there was a lot of tension in that regard. The youngest was actually a toddler who saw the whole thing as an adventure, and he was busy. We had to try to keep him away from tools and out of wells and please don't go in the pond, and it was a disaster. There was a lot of family tension and dynamics in trying to make those changes and still keep up some semblance of life.
Yeah.
Whether it was going to school or homework or their extracurricular activities or jobs. My husband's job changed just as we bought this house, and it required him to travel 2 weeks out of every month. So during all of this, he was gone.
Oh.
Which meant I had to learn how to do these things or deal with all of the obstacles and the kids. And it was horrible. But I think important in that our family started to reevaluate how each one of us fit into the picture.
Yeah.
And we had to do this together. There was no option. The other house is sold. We have to move. And so that the tension, the chaos, the craziness that anybody would have was then tripled because of all of the things that were happening at this house.
Is that
a lot
why
of family dynamics? It was crazy.
Is that why you wrote the book, so people would know, hey, this is life. This is life for all of us.
I don't think I started off that way, but certainly the lessons eventually appeared. I didn't have time to think about it. But when we were running around at baseball games or extracurricular activities, we began to tell the stories about this house, so much so that we felt like we were a comedy team. We couldn't go to a game without a congregation of people around us asking about all the things that had happened at the house. And it was just so funny, and people were incredulous, like, that cannot be true. But it was true. And we began to play off of one another even in telling those stories. And I thought, my gosh, you know, there's so much going on. I need to write this down. I'm going to forget. And in that process of writing it down, it became a book. And what I wanted to share with people about life and the obstacles that occur, the problems that we run into, and that finding the humor, celebrating the victories is worth it. Because in the end, you have something that you're proud of, and you can wear life's bruises proudly and march forward and handle anything that comes your way. And that's
I love
what
that.
I wanted to share. Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. The humor and the victory. Was it fun writing it?
Oh, it was a blast writing it. And partially, and here's something that I think most people will agree, we don't remember it the same. It's a Mars-Venus thing. Mm. The things that I remember about the stories are very different than my husband's interpretations. And it became funny at night. I would share with him the chapters, and he would look at me and say, that's not the way that happened at all. And then we would battle back and forth and try to remember and come to some compromise as to how we saw those things, which in and of itself is a lesson about communication and how we're going to view the same problems and come away from it in agreement.
Yeah. Well, what a delight. Katrina Morgan, I love that. The humor and the victory, celebrating it. You have to get this book because you will laugh out loud. Echoes in the Walls, Katrina Morgan. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
I enjoyed it thoroughly. Thank you for having me.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Into dogs and how I was a late to the party dog owner because as a kid my brother was allergic, but I just love dogs and I love what dogs do for people. And to me, I think even it starts when I go to the pet store and I look and I see the puppies. So there is a place called Selmer's Pet Land. It's in Huntington, New York. Would you believe it's the oldest pet store in America? How cool is that? But what's really scary is in New York, the New York State lawmakers are talking about this passing a bill banning the sale of puppies. And so if that happens, Selmer's is saying that they're going to have to close their doors after 80 years of business. So in our virtual green room right now, I don't think she has any puppies with her. Jessica Selmer, owner of Selmer's Petland, is with us. Jessica, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so very much. I wanted to extend my sympathies for the loss of your Mahalo.
Yes.
I obviously know how difficult that is, which is why we're having this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And you're, you know, it's not just you. You have the oldest store and so well known and all that. But this bill we're talking about is going to force hundreds of other businesses that employ thousands of people to close their doors. So tell me about that. Tell me about what this has been like going through, you know, the machinations of knowing, oh my gosh, this could happen. We've been doing this forever. We're such a part of the community.
Right. It's been very difficult. Nobody really understands until it's, you know, affecting themselves how the political machine works. And it seems that this bill is a hot topic. And we're trying to fight it, and one of the issues that we have is that people should have the freedom of choice. And just like you said, your brother had allergies, There are specific reasons why people come to my business and certain clientele that I have for that reason. So being concerned with the business closing, you know, the proponents of this bill say that that wouldn't be the case, that, you know, the businesses wouldn't close. But obviously the business owners are the best people to ask that. And being that person and my peers, we don't sell supplies anymore. We are in competition with the internet and with Chewy, and we don't have a supply feed anymore. We just own, we sell supplies basically when we sell a companion animal, you know, a pet for somebody to come home and love. So it would 100% put us out of business. And that's a scary thought. We are following regulations. We are inspected. We have licenses. We pay taxes. We have employees. And they're willing to put us out of business just because there's a moral opposition to what we do, which is a frightening, you know, consideration. And it also doesn't just affect New York. This is something that is going state by state by state. And it's also an attack on consumers' freedoms of choice, and that affects the entire country.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. And you said it. There's one thing that really caught my attention. You're regulated. So we hear these horror stories about puppy mills or somebody down the street thinks they know somebody and they have a dog and whatever. And it's different. I get it if somebody has a dog and they've had puppies and that kind of thing. But we know the horror stories that are out there. And I worry that that would also increase that. Would it? That's a possibility, right?
Well, that's exactly what our argument is. This is being presented as a rescue-only bill, and then it's being, you know, nicknamed a puppy mill ban. It's not a puppy mill ban. It's a pet store ban. It's 100% a pet store ban just by the nature of what we're calling it, a rescue-only bill. So if you're forcing people to rescue only, which is not going to happen, it's a wonderful thought. We support rescues fully. We've donated thousands of pounds of food to local rescues. We're for the freedom of either. And when you take away that choice, it's exactly what you said. You're going to force people that want puppies because they do, and they're going to go to the worst of the worst. The definition of consumer protection is a brick-and-mortar store. We have to follow laws and regulations and have consumer protection in line. And when you take that away, people are going to go straight to the internet and get scammed. They're going to go straight to the heart of the issue, which is, you know, a puppy mill, which, by the way, is not even defined. So when we're accused of buying from puppy mills, there's no definition of what that even is, besides the horrible, you know, visions in our minds. I think that it's much less likely that a store that's inspected and has so much on the line to buy from a substandard breeder. And we also are forced by law to buy from USDA licensed breeders. So this seems to be an attack on the USDA. They're saying that their facilities are not up to par, which is frightening because that's an attack on a federal agent, you know, a federal agency and how they're running things. So you're absolutely right. It would push people to the black market and to, you know, not have the options that they have now, which is being protected by buying from a store that buys from what we consider reputable breeders that are inspected and licensed.
Right, I was going to say that. We're speaking with Jessica Selmer, owner of Selmer's Petland, oldest pet store. I want to talk about something cool, though, too. Third generation owner of this store. What was it like growing up for you? It had to be fascinating.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been in and out of the store. When I was in college, I was, you know, working there on breaks, and it's always just been in my blood, and that's why every field trip was at the store. You know, people come in now and say, I came here with my grandparents. You know, I got my first goldfish from you. And when I was away at school a little bit, you know, further from where I live, the bouncer looked at my license, saw my last name, and it was about 2 hours away, and he said, no, not Selmer's Petland. And I said, yep. And he said, I got my first goldfish from you. So it was free drinks for that night.
Yeah, wow, how crazy. And you mentioned this. New York would be the third state in the nation to pass such a law, because you're saying they're going state by state, you know, that considering this. California, Maryland passed similar retail bans in the last year, that kind of thing. And what people are saying is, oh, the federal government's asleep at the wheel. But I agree with you. I think there's not enough digging into really what you would get, because in the pet stores, you said it. I mean, here's the key thing, people listening, is that you have regulation. So it's so much different than other ways that people would be able to find dogs and other animals, by the way, because, you know, we're saying it's the banning the sale of puppies, but then you got to think about what else is drawn to the store and what other effects it could have. So what do you do to fight this? Just get the word out, talk on shows like this one, etc.?
Well, this actually is what we are trying to do. There has been so much negative publicity that I really, you know, appreciate your time, and I really mean that. It's just been such a hot topic, you know, adopt, own, shop, and that's wonderful in theory, and that's a very heartfelt thought, but it eats at the freedom of choice. It shouldn't be one way or the other. It should be, we're pro-rescue and pro-purchasing. It's adopt or shop. It's the United States. And the way that we're fighting it is trying to reach out to, you know, legislators and explain this to them, because most of the time they're, you know, getting a bill and they're looking at it for, you know, however many seconds, because they have so much to do, and they're seeing that it's, you know, protecting animals. I mean, I would sign it if I didn't know the background. So knowing what it's really going to do and the negative consequences that it's going to have, then I certainly would hope they wouldn't sign it. So that's, you know, what we're trying to do as store owners is educate people and, you know, explain that there is a demand for puppies, and there should be. People should have the right to have that joy in their life. And, you know, the government shouldn't be regulating how you do that, you know, in which way you bring that into your, you know, into your life. And there will always be a demand for purebred dogs, a demand for puppies, and just like you said, for yourself, allergy issues in your family. There are people that are not equipped to rescue, and it wouldn't be fair to a rescue dog for them to have them. So it really is a very premature bill, and what we're trying to do is get the word out and explain that common sense dictates that the government having a moral opposition to the way you choose to bring love into your home is a very frightening concept.
Yeah, boy, no kidding. All right, Jessica Selmer, thank you so much. And if I'm in Huntington, New York, I will stop by your store.
Please do. I would love to see you. We could show you the original porch steps and everything.
I love it. I love it. Jessica, thanks.
All right, mahalo to you.
I love it. Cool. Thanks, Jessica.
Bye-bye.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.